Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Game Dads. I am your host for today. My name is Brett, and I'm joined by my
Aaron.
Other game dad.
Aaron.
Yes. We are the games that dad.
Yes.
That's now twice that I've said that.
Did you do that one on purpose?
I did both of them on purpose.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Everything I do is on purpose, except for the things that I don't do on purpose. Yes. Sometimes those are not on purpose.
And then Wizard today arrives exactly when he means to.
Exactly. So this is going to be our DC episode. So Aaron and I did a couple of them on Marvel. And I'm not typically a much of a Marvel guy outside of X-Men and Spider-Man. But just to kind of keep things balanced, Aaron asked me and, to kind of compile some notes and all that stuff. And I did. And we're going to kind of talk about everything from DC, from video games to comics to movies to movie universes, universe-ized. I don't know. Do you have anything you want to get off your chest before we start getting into it?
Okay. First, last time when we were chatting, I had said that I hadn't seen She-Hulk and I hadn't seen Secret Invasion. I haven't seen all of them, but I watched the first episode of both. I was like Andrea was out of town, and I was like, I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna watch these and see if they're any good, if they really are as mid as everyone says they are. I disagree. I watched the first episode of She-Hulk. I thought it was awesome. And I watched the first episode of Secret Invasion. I understand from a MCU perspective why people don't like Secret Invasion. But I thought it was fine. Like, from an MCU perspective, when you have, Thor flying around and spaceships and space gods and all of that, and then you drop into a gritty, by-the-nose spy thriller, I could see where people would be like, whoa, what the heck is this? But, like, it's good. It's perfectly fine. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good deal. That is the only Marvel talk on this show, because this is a DC show, and in James Gunn we trust. So, where do you want to start at, bub? Do you want to start with the DCEU? Do you want to start with, I guess we can probably go that route since you're talking about Marvel stuff. And
yeah, we can start with the DCU.
So I admittedly, I'm not a universe guy. I don't think shared universes are, I don't think that they're always the best fit for things. Obviously, with the DCEU, it was done kind of in response to what was happening out with the MCU. There's a 5-year difference between the start of the MCU and the DCU. I'm not going to call it the DCEU because that's too many syllables. We'll just call it DC Universe or whatever. But the DC Universe came out strong, though, I felt, with Man of Steel. After the Dark Knight trilogy, and I think that Man of Steel and Dark Knight Rises kind of came out in the same year. Am I wrong?
Maybe they're about
a year apart. I think Dark Knight Rises was 2012.
I am not a year person, so I have horrible ability to track when things came out.
Fair enough. I do think it was actually the next year. Because Christopher Nolan and he did the story on that one. I think he was also a producer on it. So it kind of makes sense that that would have been the year after, but kind of going off of the grounded, more realistic kind of take on what Batman was, with Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, and all that stuff, kind of Man of Steel sort of did the same thing. Zack Snyder is kind of a divisive sort of director. He's got his own sort of style. It's usually very, very cinematic, very kind of CG heavy. Mm-hmm. Man of Steel had quite a bit of CG, not a whole lot. I mean, the stuff on Krypton was pretty CG heavy, but what's your experience with Man of Steel?
I think I've said this on the show before, but I'm not like a super big, huge fan of Batman, or Superman for that matter. I like the Nolan trilogy. I think all of those movies are excellent. Like I have no qualms with saying all of those movies are excellent. I like Man of Steel. I don't think it's the strongest showing in the DCU, but I think it's in there with any Marvel movie. You could put it in there with any of the origin stories that exist in the MCU. So I got no beef with that one either. Like, I personally am not a super huge Superman fan, but I chalk my not liking Superman up to I haven't experienced his best stories. And I like the Superman, the early 2000 Superman cartoon, so.
Yeah, and dude, that's actually on my list of things to kind of talk about too, is just kind of where Superman is. He's kind of the linchpin of superheroes just as a whole. I don't think he was necessarily the first superhero, but I mean, he was definitely one of the earliest, cases of superheroes. I was never a Superman fan growing up, or at least not traditionally. I like the Christopher Reeve movies. When I was a kid, my cousin Andrew and I, Marvel wasn't a big thing back then. It really wasn't. I mean, Spider-Man, yeah, but like nobody was like a Marvel fan,
Mm-hmm.
He was always, Superman fan. I was always the Batman fan. And we were, he had his Superman movies. I had the Keaton Batman. I also had, why am I blanking on his name? 60s Batman.
Adam West.
Adam West. I don't know why I was blanking on that, but I did.
I came into the DC podcast and I'm talking DC more than you. What?
Yes, you are. But those were always kind of our things and all that. So when Man of Steel came out, I wasn't like super thrilled about it. And again, not a universe guy. I don't really need my movies to kind of speak to each other or like have through lines outside of just regular sequels. But I thought Man of Steel was great. And I thought it set up Superman for, especially with Henry Cavill. Like, I thought he looked like Superman.
He oozes Superman. Like, I'm not a super actor guy, like I keep saying, like I said in the last one, but like apparently he's super hard to work with, apparently. But like, he oozes Superman. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a person who looks more like Superman in the Superman costume than Henry Cavill does, except for maybe Nicolas Cage.
Monster. I'll be honest with you, I really dug that cameo in Flash. So that's something we will probably never see again. But it was definitely cool to see. But man, I absolutely loved Man of Steel. It got me into Superman, which like once I saw that, I was like, well, why do I not like Superman and stuff? So I kind of went down the rabbit hole, and I tried to get as many comics as I could. Just Red Sun, I'm blanking on some of the other ones, but. I tried to get as much as I could to just figure out exactly what I did and didn't like about it. Animated Superman, the Superman animated series was actually my touchstone with that, other than the Christopher Reeve stuff. But, that really brought me in and got me super hyped for the Batman v Superman stuff. And I know that, people are going to say what they're going to say about Ben Affleck's Batman and his Bruce Wayne and all that stuff, but I thought he was phenomenal.
I appreciate that, like, he brings, like, an older Superman or older Batman into, like, I feel like because Batman is surrounded by a lot of people who are a lot younger than him, he gets this, like, he kind of has this like older like 20s, 30s kind of vibe no matter what his actual age is. So like this Ben Affleck's Batman kind of has like this like kind of mature vibe to him. It's not like Batman Beyond Batman obviously, but he's like I think I like his vibe. I like his vibe, and I also didn't. I also like the vibe that Twilight brought to the Batman, the Batman. Like both of those vibes are completely different Batmans, and it's weird to like to see two actors play the same character who seem play the same character, but they seem so far apart from each other.
Yeah, you know, with Robert Pattinson's.
Yeah, sorry. Batman. I didn't mean to disrespect to like try and like jab at him because I actually thought he was really good at Batman. Like he just
I did. Yeah, me too.
I have no beef about him being in Twilight. I mean, everyone starts somewhere.
The stuff with that like year one Batman is completely different than you know, grizzled, jaded, paranoid Batman. And there's definitely a big, there's a big difference. And I thought Ben Affleck played that really well too. Like he wasn't necessarily to the point where he was paranoid just yet, but you know, seeing what he saw after, you know, the events of Man of Steel, like, and just his hatred and you know, he, like I said, he wasn't quite paranoid yet, but like his prejudice against what Superman represented, the alien, you know, coming to Earth, living among us. What he's capable of, all that good stuff. Like, you know, his heart was in the right place with a lot of that stuff, but, you know...
Yeah, it's... Go ahead, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt.
I was just gonna... Oh, you're okay. I was just gonna say that's more of like a... It's a deeper take on, like, accountability than, you know, that we've seen in superhero movies in the past. And I know we're not gonna talk a lot about Marvel stuff, but, like, it took, you know, almost... Civil War was in 2016, so yeah. it was about 8 years between, you know, however many movies for them to actually talk about accountability with you know, collateral damage or like what it was doing to other heroes or villains or whatever. Like, you know, it took two movies to bring in the accountability factor with it, and I thought that was pretty incredible.
I mean, I have my opinions on Batman versus Superman, but I like. The idea that it's like a two-factor portion that really explains both characters in a good way. Like, there are parts of Batman vs. Superman that I really like. It's just, there are parts of it that I don't. But, like, the idea is Batman comes in with his completely valid point that Superman has no checks. No one can check him. Yeah. So he literally can do whatever he wants, and if he decides that what he wants isn't what's in the best interest of humanity, that's a problem. I mean, what he's saying is legit, but then you also turn around and you get Superman, who is an alien, but he is an alien who was raised on Earth by people of such good nature that it isn't in his nature to be against Earth. So, like, you've got this idea that works perfectly in Batman's head, but the reality of Superman is that will never happen.
Well, it does. I love the nightmare parts of that movie. I don't know if you really remember that. They called it Nightmare with a K, which I thought was pretty cool. They touch on it a little bit in Batman v Superman, and then more in the Snyder Cut. Where, you know, Lois Lane dies and, you know, it is the fault of, it's probably Joker, I think.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing this story.
But the Snyder Cut, for what it is and all that, it's probably my favorite piece of, like, it's not my favorite superhero movie, but it's my favorite piece of superhero cinema? Does that make sense?
I kind of get what you're saying.
Like, if I don't know, but it kind of touches on that in a future where, you know, Superman, like, Lois had died, and Injustice kind of touches on that stuff too. And that one, you know, Joker does end up killing Lois Lane. Like, he tricked Superman into killing her with Scarecrow's toxin and all that. So he, like, brings her up into space and beats the shit out of her because, you know, he thinks that she's Darkseid. So Joker just makes him, you know, tricks him into killing Lois, and then he flips out and kills the Joker. Of course, you know, that's the events of, you know, Injustice, but, you know, in this alternate future, you know, Bruce is kind of doing his own thing. You know, he's wielding guns, and, you know, everything's just, it's super desolate and crazy. And, you know, he's teaming up with people like the Joker and Mira from Aquaman and Cyborg.
That was one of those things that I love, and that I love to hate about the internet. Because I remember when the first time people got that hint and, like, saw that part where Batman has a gun, and they flipped out about it. Batman doesn't use guns. Batman doesn't use guns. Batman doesn't use guns. That's so stupid. Batman doesn't use guns. It's like, you understand. Did you not see the literal texture change of the scene to, like, show that that's not reality? Like, did you not notice that? Like,
well, they also, too, just, like, absolute last resort, too. You know, he is, at that point in time, he is one of the last few that are able to stand up to, you know, Superman's forces and all that. And he's got, you know, I believe that's you know, Darkseid's minions and stuff, those little bug guys that show up. You know, those, I mean, that's absolute last resort. So, I mean, if he's using guns and all that, he's definitely, but I mean, even in the reality aspect of it, I mean, he's also branding people too. So, I mean, this is definitely a Bruce that has, like, you know, he's seen shit and he's over it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I love that part of it, but the internet fanboys that, you know, jumped all over, you know, Ben Affleck just as Batman in general, but also, you know, him using a gun. Even, like, you know, back in Man of Steel when, you know, Superman killed Zod, you know, people flipped out over that. He only did that because he absolutely had to, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I think these movies have a lot of layers that people just weren't necessarily ready for.
I have a theory on this, and it's a DC problem more than it's a Marvel problem because of popularity. But, like, I feel like so many people get what they know about these characters from the Saturday morning cartoon shows and don't understand that there are deeper and darker versions of their stories told in the comics. So then when those aspects of those darker portions of the story get told in movies, it throws people off. Like, I think, like, specifically that Batman cartoon and that Superman cartoon make up a lot of what a lot of people know about the characters.
Yeah. I think, too, just the other side of the coin, I think that the DCU is kind of a tale of, like, many kind of, you get too many cooks in the kitchen, that kind of stuff. So they kind of started off, you know, dark and gritty and that stuff, because then, you know, that's what people thought that, or that's what they thought people wanted, that kind of stuff. But then they course corrected and they tried to make things a little bit happier, you know. I don't know, it's just the DCU is very, it's kind of all over the place in the way that it does that stuff. Like, you know, you were saying how a lot of people get what they know about these characters from Saturday morning cartoons. They don't necessarily read comic books. They have a preconceived notion of what these characters are actually capable of, and, you know, what their actual, like, skill sets or, you know, personality is like. But then you get these movies where it's just a little bit different and people kind of lose their minds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not, like, a super DC guy, but I'm not one of those people who has, I don't pick sides on really any media. Like, I've never been an Xbox versus PlayStation guy. Like, I own Xbox. I have played Xbox games. I'm not against Xbox just because I personally prefer PlayStation more. So, like, in the same aspect, I'm not, like, I like Marvel more, but I'm not out here like I hate DC. Like I think I've seen almost, I think I've seen every DCU movie except for The Flash, just because I don't have access to it. I watched the Snyder Cut. Like, I watched the whole thing. Like, I don't have anything against DC characters. It's just, I like Marvel characters more. But, like, I feel like so many people have that thing where they're just like, oh, well, except for Aquaman, which I'll talk about later. But I liked all the DC movies that I watched. I have certain ones that I like less, like the Wonder Woman 2 wasn't the greatest showing, but
no, that's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
But I liked most of the DCU movies, so
yeah. It's just there's a lot of I always use the too many cooks in the kitchen type stuff. Zack Snyder clearly had a vision for what he wanted everything to be. He's a producer on the majority of it up to a certain point. It's a lot of it's really up to like leading up to Justice League, and then the personal tragedy that he kind of went through, and I honestly don't really want to talk about any of that stuff because I don't feel it has anything to do with the conversation, if that makes sense. But what Joss Whedon and what's his name? Chris Terrio, whatever his name is. What they did to that movie just after the decent lead up. I thought Man of Steel and Batman v Superman were great, and then Suicide Squad kind of, there was definitely a stumble back. But I thought Wonder Woman was pretty good too, and then that led into Justice League, which should have been a better movie than what it was. But man, I that first version they put out after Zack Snyder took a step back, and Joss Whedon took over. It was terrible. It was so bad. But again, that kind of goes back to my point of like how they were wanting to change from the dark and gritty stuff to have it be more along the lines of like something not necessarily family friendly, but like what people kind of knew, like your golden age versions of Batman, Superman, Aquaman, all that good stuff.
Yeah, when I take a step back and I look at all of the Marvel, all of the DCU, and like kind of the way that it flows, like, what in the world happened in freaking Justice League? Like,
yeah.
It, like, there are so many just, like, weird things that, like, once you watch the Snyder Cut and you see, like, how Justice League is, like, an origin story for Cyborg, and then they just, like, just all of it, they just, like, Cyborg is, like, his backstory is, like, 5 minutes of that whole entire movie. Like, in the Snyder Cut, it's like an hour of like the like 4 hour runtime of that movie. An hour of it is just Cyborg, and then like they cut all of that down to like 5 minutes. Like,
yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, seeing how, admittedly, it was long. But I think it had to be that long, especially like if you're, people were really demanding that Snyder Cut for a long time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think that was like, there's like a part of the internet that I know, like, saw this, that thing as like this, like, what a bunch of babies. But like, when you watch it and see, I'm sure those people who said they were babies for complaining about it, like, didn't actually watch the Snyder Cut after it came out. But, like, when you watch it and see how much of an absolutely different movie it was, like, for the fans to instinctively just feel that in their guts and, like, scream about it until a studio made the movie is kind of impressive.
It's very impressive. I think, too, what's impressive is just, like, how... You said how different the movie is, but, like, what his vision ended up being, taking what the original Justice League or I wouldn't say the, not the original one, but like the one that came out first. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then you have Zack Snyder's, like, just how different they are and just how much, like, Zack Snyder's Justice League caps off that series of movies. Like, if you look at Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and the Justice League as a trilogy, like, Zack Snyder's Justice League definitely caps it off, like, his vision of what that quote-unquote universe was. Now, at this point, I'm not going to go, like, movie by movie on some of these, because I quite frankly, I don't think we need to talk about Suicide Squad or anything like that, but, like, I don't look at it as a universe like what Marvel's is, you know, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. there are definitely shared elements of it, and there's recurring characters, but that does not necessarily make a universe, if that makes sense. Go ahead.
I say, I definitely think, like, the DCU definitely, I would say more, not definitely, but way more than Marvel. Each one of their movies, aside from Justice League, obviously, works by itself more than Marvel's do.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, you watch, like, I don't know, Ant-Man 2, and you haven't seen almost every Marvel movie before that, like, you might as well be, like, I don't know, you might as well just put in Disc 3 of Final Fantasy 7 and just started playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, for the DC stuff, like, if you pick up The Suicide Squad, like, you could just watch that.
Yeah. I think that's what my favorite part about it is, and that's just really what I liked about comic book movies in general before the MCU and DCU stuff started, you know, kicking off. Just how kind of self-contained everything was, unless it was something that directly led into, like, you know, Batman Begins to the Dark Knight. My favorite part, you know, post Justice League was just kind of how weird everything got with the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't necessarily look at it as more of a universe. It's touchstones. So I think your touchstone with those ones is actually funny. It's Viola Davis's Amanda Waller, which is a very funny, like, linchpin kind of.
Like, I mean, if you just, like, sit the character down, like, Viola Davis is a pretty good match for Amanda Waller. But then if, like, look at Viola Davis's, like, theatrical history, and then you put her as Amanda Waller, that is a pull and a half. Like, someone was like, I think Viola Davis would work, and somebody else was just like, you really think she'll do this? And then someone sent the letter and she said yes,
and she killed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
She is terrifying. But, like, my point, though, like, with everything, it's just how crazy everything got. Like, especially kind of when, like, Snyder kind of finished up his stuff with his version of Justice League. But everything is different from, like, Birds of Prey to Black Adam to, like, you know, Shazam, Flash. Like, it's all just a little bit different. And I think that's what makes... I still haven't seen Blue Beetle yet. I've heard it's really good. It's on my... Blue Beetle is actually one of my favorite DC heroes. I love Blue Beetle. But it's all weird. Like, even... We just finished up Peacemaker. So, again, I'm doing my homework and my notes and all that stuff. I'm not normally a TV guy. But Allie watched Peacemaker last year or was the year before that, whenever it came out. And I think I kind of dipped in and out. I watched, like, maybe the first episode and the last episode. And so I bought it on iTunes because I don't want to do the subscription stuff anymore. And we kind of sat through and watched it. And it was so good, like, how it ties into everything kind of as a whole. Like, again, the Amanda Waller stuff. You know, piggybacking off of The Suicide Squad and kind of where James Gunn is going to take everything in the future, which, dude, it's going to get so stinking weird.
But I just like I don't have opinions about a lot of stuff in there, but is it the Toxic Avenger?
I think Toxic Avenger is coming.
He
greenlit a lot of stuff.
What I heard was a Toxic Avenger horror series, and I am so in for that. Like, so in for that.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably towards the end of this conversation, but so far I am in no way offended by what I've heard from James Gunn of what he's planning to do next with the stories, except for the fact that he got rid of Henry Cavill. I don't know what the rules or what the drama was behind it, but I still think Henry Cavill's a perfect Superman.
So I'm of two minds on that. Number one, he's perfect. I was really excited at the end of Black Adam. I loved Black Adam. I thought it was so good. But I was very happy to see Henry Cavill at the end of that one, you know, squared off against The Rock. Mm-hmm. You know, that was really cool. But on the same side of that too, or on the other side of it rather, if you're coming in and you're planning on rebooting this thing, it makes no sense to have those touchstones. It makes no sense to bring in the old guard. One of the reports from a couple days ago was that some people were staying and some people were going. Like at one point, Jason Momoa and Gal Gadot were both staying on, and they were going to get rid of all the rest of them. Now, I guess the word is none of the original Justice League are in it. Like he's scrapping everything. The only thing that's returning is Viola Davis and John Cena. I'm pretty sure Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn's coming over too, because dude, you just can't get rid of her. So
she's too
good.
Yeah, I'm perfectly cool with that. Like I said, I think he's a perfect Superman. But from what, I mean, I don't know if any of the James Gunn stuff is confirmed in any way. But from what I heard online was that he was planning to do a more closer to a new Superman origin story with a younger Superman, and Henry Cavill doesn't fit. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
He's already got his new Superman.
Yeah, you can't. I'm like, okay, you can't like put him in as Superman in three movies and then be like, oh, but this is the same guy, but he's younger now. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I would have made that narrative choice personally, but like, if you're choosing to make a younger Superman and you've got an idea that you think is movie worthy, you can't recast Henry Cavill. He's been Superman for 20 years at this point.
The guy that they got, his name is David Corenswet. He actually looks like a younger Henry Cavill. I'm going to save the first one.
Isn't he the... I think I've seen him in something else. If I remember correctly who they chose, it's the dude... He's in a... medieval-ish period comedy drama about...
Maybe.
About Russia?
Do you see him?
Let me... No, that's not him. I think maybe that guy was in the running and he lost.
Yeah, this guy, he kind of looks like a jabroni, but I don't know. We'll see.
When this argument started going down about this new guy, someone showed me a picture of what Henry Cavill looked like before when he was auditioning for Superman, so...
Yeah.
He was apparently much smaller and less Superman-looking, and then he bulked up immensely for the role, so...
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think future of DC movies or whatever, I think they're going to be fine. James Gunn is weird enough, but... a lot of the stuff that, you know, like, he made Guardians of the Galaxy a household name, which,
yeah,
I mean, you know, 15, 20 years ago, dude, nobody would have ever thought that. He brought in people from the Suicide Squad, and I still think that movie is one of the best, like, comic book adaptations. I think it's just great. Idris Elba, as Bloodsport, I thought was great. You know, he made Polka Dot Man, he made Polka Dot Man relevant.
Yeah.
King Shark, dude, Ratcatcher, like, he's just the Weasel. You know, he pulled all these like weird names and, you know, made them interesting, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, one of the things that I think, like, amazes me the most about all of these guys who all the directors who've been making these comic movies recently is, like, taking these characters who, like, the idea, I'm sorry I'm talking about Marvel, but that's my specialty, but the idea that a character in the comics who is literally a tree that can only say his name and turned him into one of the most marketable characters in all of Marvel is freaking crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, Tiny Groot is, like, the... Like, he has, like, a whole section in, like, the Disney Plus area that are just tiny, like 5-minute videos of Baby Groot just doing weird stuff. Like, it's Groot! Like...
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think that he is... he's the perfect fit to be leading that up. I liked what Zack Snyder had done. I really do. I think it was a little too ham-fisted in some cases. Like, it was a little too dramatic in some other cases. And that's, at that point in time, that's not really what people wanted. And that's fine. Like, it is what it is. You know, dark and brooding is... It can only go so far. I think what James Gunn... has planned is pretty great. And I also love that, you know, in the DC movie portfolio, whatever the hell you want to call it, stuff like the Batman and Joker can actually exist separately from all that.
Yeah.
And they recognize that. And I love that. It doesn't have to be beholden to anything else. Like, you know, in the MCU, if they make another Hulk movie, it has to fit within that grander puzzle. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? With this one, or if they create a brand new character or whatever, you know, Moon Knight had to fit within that world. You know, with this one, if they want to do something crazy with the Batman 2 or whatever it's going to be called, they don't, like, that Joker doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be Jared Leto. It doesn't have to be, you know, whoever the other jabroni is they got for the, you know, extended scene or whatever. It doesn't have to be anything like that. They can kind of do whatever they want. And I like that. So, do you have anything more to say about the DC universe?
I got two things I got to say.
What's that?
Okay. I thought Wonder Woman, the first one, was an amazing movie. I mean, amazing comic book movie, but amazing movie in general. I wanted to, like, agreed. I want to, like, highlight that and, like, put a little, get out my yellow highlighter and, like, put a little, like, that movie was awesome.
Yeah.
Aquaman.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's hear the shit talk on Aquaman.
Aquaman is a nearly shot-for-shot ripoff of Black Panther, and it's gross. Like, it's gross. Like, someone should have gotten sued for how similar those two movies are. Like, yeah. Like, Aquaman loses a ritualistic fight for the crown to his brother and gets thrown off of a waterfall. Aquaman takes place underwater. Aquaman takes place underwater, and they still had a scene where he got thrown off of a waterfall. It's someone should have gotten sued for how close those movies are. I like Aquaman. I like that idea that they brought to him. They, you know, everyone has the super friends. Aquaman stuck in their head because people make fun of him so much, and then they were like, there are tons of other Aquaman, and there are tons of parts in the story where Aquaman is a badass. You guys just don't you can't base everything off of Saturday morning cartoons. Like, they brought us an Aquaman. He was cool. I loved everything about that character, but that movie is, it's a travesty.
Yeah. There are parts of me that agree. I like the Aquaman movie quite a bit. It's not perfect, I don't think. I do like Jason Momoa quite a bit. I think the casting was pretty good. I don't think that Aquaman's universe is like particularly interesting. Everything Aquaman in a post New 52, and New 52 being the hard reboot in the comic books and all that stuff. Aquaman New 52 was actually really good and a turning point for that character, because, dude, like you said, for years he was a joke. So between New 52 Aquaman and then that, and then kind of like the self sort of referential stuff where, you know, they kind of admit that Aquaman sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Peacemaker talks. Did you finish Peacemaker?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
There's a cameo at the end where Flash and the Justice League shows up, but only Flash and Aquaman actually get, like, their faces are thrown on camera and stuff. And the whole joke throughout the series is that he fucks fish or whatever. And like, Momoa's in on the joke too. So I won't spoil the joke, but, everybody knows that Aquaman's kind of just whatever, but like the fact that they were even able to salvage a little bit of it and then make two movies based off of it is kind of crazy. But, of course, like, dude, me being like DC super fan number one, probably. And actually, I mean, there's people that are more than me, but like, dude, I can't just talk about, like, you know, the movies and stuff. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. And I've been doing a lot of like reading and watching and playing and stuff, just to kind of give a broad overview of just like what DC is. Because I think what DC does better than most is that its portfolio is pretty good across just like various mediums, as opposed to just movies or just comics or whatever. But like their animated stuff, and like I think we have to talk about the animated stuff. Like going all the way back to Batman the animated series up to like some of the newest stuff. Like they did a crossover between Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was pretty good. They've done like Injustice adaptations. The Batman Beyond movie was really good.
God,
Batman
Beyond is my shit. Like when they announced the Batman, I thought it was going to be Batman Beyond, and I was fucking pumped.
I think your day is coming, dude. I think the James Gunn stuff, I think you'll end up getting Batman Beyond.
Like, just take everything you know about the Batman out of your head for a second. They were like, we got Robert Pattinson to play Batman. Robert Pattinson is pretty dang close to Terry McGinnis.
Yeah, I agree.
Then they were talking about, forget his name. Michael Keaton was going to be in the movie. And I'm like, that's old Batman right there.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh my God, they're making a freaking Batman Beyond movie. Oh my God. I still like the Batman, but I was hype for a second when I thought it was going to be Batman Beyond.
It didn't get as much love when I think that was one that, like, over time people really appreciated it more. And now, dude, like, I see, like, Batman Beyond's got its own comic book series and all kinds of cool stuff. Like, it's got a real, just legitimate following as opposed to just being a cult following. But I do think that under James Gunn, you'll see Batman Beyond, like, an actual movie for it. And I think it'll be really good.
Yes.
The thing that really stunk about Batman Beyond, though, is it got canceled before they could actually finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch Justice League, the cartoon series, and then into Justice League Unlimited, there is actually a there is a Batman Beyond ending at the end of that show.
Jeez, really?
Yes, and it's good. It's worth going back and just watching like the last couple episodes of that. Terry McGinnis like breaks into Amanda Waller's office and she kind of tells him like where he came from and all that. Mm-hmm. Turns out that like Bruce was like just paranoid that the world can't live without a Batman. And that kind of ties into the end of Justice League Unlimited, but Terry McGinnis is actually a clone of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing that at some point that he was that Terry McGinnis is a clone. That's like that's where my following stopped, but my following stopped there because like that's the time of the period where I like I don't know, maybe like I would say maybe moved away from cartoons and more into anime, like right in that period where Justice League Unlimited came out, because I watched the crap out of that Batman show, I watched the crap out of that Superman show, and I watched the crap out of the Justice League show, the first one. But like, yeah. I think that's right where like I moved from cartoons to anime, and like just like I miss Justice League Unlimited entirely.
It'll blow your mind that there's only 3 seasons of Batman the Animated Series.
Holy crap! Yeah.
Did you know that?
I feel like I watched that show forever.
Yeah, me too. Allie and I have been watching it quite a bit, and Drake's into it now too, which is pretty cool. So yeah, just being able to share that with them, like the 2 people I love most in the world and stuff, like it makes me happy. But that's just like a little bit of like the homework that I've been doing. Like we watched Batman Returns as a family not long ago. It was Drake's first time watching Batman Returns, and he ended up loving it. I watched Superman 2, the Donner Cut, which, again, Christopher Reeve's Superman is always going to be really good. I watched Constantine with Keanu Reeves,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty good.
Random thought. I watched an interview with Keanu Reeves once, like a recent interview, and he literally said that if he could get a sequel to any movie ever he's ever been in, it would be Constantine. I was like, that's dope.
I did see that. That movie's super underrated. that gets into the whole like Justice League Dark stuff and like him and Swamp Thing, and Constantine is just that's a whole thing in and of itself. But like DC also does, you know, their comic books are really good. So I've been reading Batman Fortress recently. Like that came out last year, so that's a great run. Superman American Alien is really good too. It's just kind of a story about Superman's origin, that kind of stuff, and then kind of like hit like Clark's sort of place in the world. Superman Red and Blue is really good as well. It's just a collection of like little stories and stuff. I read Aquaman New 52. I read some of that, and then I got back into Robin Wars. So little known fact, my son is actually named after Tim Drake, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, well, I don't know if the listeners want to know that stuff or not, but how are you with like the Arkham games?
I played the first one, but I'm not a big Batman guy, so.
Yeah, that's right.
One thing I wanted to comment, though, was I think that DC would benefit from this more than Marvel would, but someone needs to hurry up and just make, like, a straight-up comic streaming service. Make it super cheap. Make it $3 a month, where you can just get unlimited access. Because like I feel like a big barrier of entry for comics is just access. Like I don't really like I'm a full grown adult with paychecks, and I don't want to spend $7 to $8 per comic.
DC has you covered. They've got DC Universe Infinite. Let me see here. Select my plan. For $7.99 a month, you get access to 27,000 comics. Available anytime, anywhere. New comics are available 6 months after print release. And then you get member benefits and discounts.
There you go. I had never heard of that in my life. Now that I know.
I think Marvel's got one, too. Let me see.
I'll say, if Marvel's got one, then I will probably scoop that. Because it's... I just recently got, we're jumping to anime here. I just recently got the Shonen Jump monthly subscription, and oh my god, like, having access to all of, like, Naruto or Bleach or One Piece or Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z is, I read all the way through Dragon Ball in, like, a day.
Yeah. Drake did the same thing. He's got the paper, like the actual comics and all that stuff. He's got the box set for that.
Yeah, I've got the first five books of Dragon Ball. I'm planning on just like actually getting the whole thing one day, but it's one of those things that I have this real problem with. If I buy something and I know that the majority of its use is going to be sitting on a shelf looking pretty, it just like... it does something to my soul. Like, I can buy video games because I will play them. And, like, there are just a moment where, like, I will be like, man, I want to play Final Fantasy X. And then I'll just pick up Final Fantasy X and play. But, like, figurines where, like, they just, like, are going to sit on a shelf. Something in my soul just, like, why? No, I can't spend money on this. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just going to look at it forever. Like,
yeah. I get it, dude. I have the same problem with a lot. Like, I actually bought a couple. Like, I've got a Batman animated series statue guy, and I also have a black suit Superman statue little dude thing. But I mean, they're action figures. They're dolls, whatever. I got a couple Purtles on my shelf too. Just I got the Last Ronin ones up there too. But like, it's really tough to spend like $30 on a doll. That's just going to sit on my shelf.
Yeah, I have, like, a serious, like, mental block with that. Because, like,
yeah.
There are characters who I love enough that logically, decorating my room or my living room with them makes sense. Like, you get me a nice-looking Trunks, like, figurine, it makes sense for me to put that thing up. But, like, something in my soul will not let me spend... like, if someone gave it to me, I'd be like, sweet, this is going up on the shelf. But, like, buying it myself, I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I get it. Marvel's got you covered, dude. Marvel Unlimited. It's $10 a month.
Doop-a-doo. Phone.
Play Store. They also have exclusive limited edition membership kit that gets you... Hasbro Marvel Legends Nova figure, Rocket Raccoon pin. It's a pin. You get Loki number one from 2023 comic variant, Captain Marvel Bangle variant comic, and a Loki broken horn helmet patch. I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah. When I actually have some free time to read some comics, I'm absolutely going to get that subscription because there are so many characters that I would love to read their actual, like, individual stories that I never got a chance to because all I ever read were the big stories to try and, you know, get as much as possible. Specifically, Rogue. I like Rogue.
Yeah.
But we're DC.
There's a lot of... I mean, comics can be very not. It's a very high barrier to entry, if that makes sense. You kind of have to just jump in, and I think with these streaming services, it helps because it removes that sort of barrier to entry. You can just kind of jump in wherever you want. And that's usually what I recommend. Like, I don't think that I actually just gave away a couple long boxes full of comics. Trent's son is actually getting into comic books, so I just gave him a ton of books. But I don't know. There's a part of me that misses like having a pull list and, you know, going into comic book store and, you know, getting my like $80 worth of comics, because that's usually how much my pull list was, and go home and reading them and then putting them on my shelf and all that stuff. I just don't really want to do that anymore. You know, you can read more with these subscription services, which I definitely get. I'm not like always going to be like, yeah, I think I talked on one of the episodes recently where just like there's too many subscriptions.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes these things can be beneficial, and, you know, $10 a month is not really anything. That's a sandwich at Wendy's or whatever, you know, and then you get access to all these. Yeah, for real. Thanks, Biden. And then you get all these, like, you know, great books to read. So, yeah, definitely give it a shot, man.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, this is, like, a random jump that I was going to say earlier, but I forgot. I feel like, looking at recent events, I feel like Warner Brothers Studio has a lot to do with a lot of where the DCU ended up, because the people there have been making some insane decisions, and I haven't seen a single one of them that's been positive.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of like corporate shakeup too. I know, like, between their corporate shakeup, and then they've got, they were trying to sell off their video game division for a while, or at least they were, like, thinking about it. So, like, NetherRealm and Rocksteady and all this stuff. There's definitely a lot of stuff that's, like, brewing over there that's not necessarily great. But I think with the James Gunn stuff, I mean, that's definitely a step in the right direction. And then once Rocksteady gets this Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League game out, I think that'll help out things tremendously. But, dude, their comic side is they've always been strong there. But I think starting at the top, you know, just kind of getting a lot of that corporate crap under control might help. But it helps Marvel's side when they've got a clear structure. There's that, you know, I know he's got like people underneath him and stuff, but the Kevin Feige that, you know, oversees the whole thing, like everything is it's checked and balanced by him. That definitely helps. He's the figurehead behind the whole thing.
Yeah, it's, I think a lot of what, I mean, especially in phases 1 through 3, a lot of what kept that going is like, you basically had him at the very top of the chain, and, you know, the studio had complete faith in him. Like, they were just like, you got us this far, whatever you got going, whatever's next in the chamber, just do it. Like, they had complete faith in him, and, I mean, he brought it home for them in the end, but, like, I mean, it's not like as if every single movie he made in that entire 26 movie arc was like every single one of them was gold. I mean, Thor 2 is in there, like.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's definitely some like turds in there and stuff, but like on the whole, like at the very least, he had a vision.
Yeah,
and I'm really hoping too that, you know, like what DC does with like their video games and what they do with their comics and stuff. I really want like Marvel Comics to come back to, you know, prominent. Dude, Marvel Comics have not been great in a long time. They had a couple good runs with like the Captain America run where Sam, you know, became Captain America. Like, that was great. The Mighty Thor stuff with Jane Foster was really good. You know, everything with, like, you know, the death of Peter Parker and, you know, the rise of Miles Morales and the whole Spider-Verse stuff, like, before the movie. But, like, you know, when that whole, you know, thing started popping up, that was great. House of X was a great X-Men series. Like, I wish that they could take those same things and apply them to like different, like, you know, everything that they do, as opposed to just like, hey, like, this is a really great X-Men arc, and then, you know, that's kind of it for a little while, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
The Spider-Man games, like, I wish that, like, everything had that same sort of care and quality to it, you know, otherwise we get stuff like, you know, the Midnight Suns or whatever, where it's like, you know, some people like it, but it's not, like, the banger that it should be.
I'm like, the problem that I always see with the problem that I'm seeing now with, you know, anything licensed really is I feel like a lot of people have been convinced that mobile gaming is just an infinite money trick, and you can just like take your IP, slap it on there, and it'll just infinitely make money forever. So every game that I feel like gets made for mobile, the only one that I would give a sort of pass to is, I feel like there's a lot of care and love in Marvel Snap. I'm not a card game person, so like, I'm not super into it personally, but like, just looking at the way people who are into it feel about it, I definitely feel like they put some care into that one. But I feel like a lot of those other games are just like, we're going to put Marvel characters on Pogs, and then you flip them, and then if your Pog comes out on top, you win, and then if you want stronger, bigger Pogs, then you have to pay us $20. Like, I...
Yeah, that's too good. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I thought I lost you again.
No, my mic is just, if I'm really quiet, like, it's like silent on this side. Like, watch.
That's very silent.
All right. So let's, unless you've got another genre of DC things that I'm blanking on.
I was going to talk about video games too, but I think we're running a little bit long today. So
yeah.
we can always do that another day if you want to. Yeah, I will say that, like, recently I did play a lot of Gotham Knights, and I did my yearly replay of Arkham Asylum, and I also played Sunsoft Batman on the NES.
Nice.
So, yeah, lots of good games in there, brother.
So I don't want to cut the gaming part short, because we are a gaming podcast. So, I mean, tell me about your DC gaming experiences.
I say, on the whole, like, I think DC gaming is great, especially Arkham Asylum definitely took what licensed games were and made them the love and care that went into Arkham Asylum and then into City and then into an Arkham Knight. It was just, it's second to none. So they took an already great video game character, an already great just overall character that transcends all this other media, like, you know, books and movies and, you know, all this other good stuff. And they turned him into a great game character. Not only that, but they brought in like Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill and a lot of the other characters and actors from, you know, the animated series, and just made this, you know, this Arkhamverse or whatever that is, you know, it still stands as, you know, some of the greatest video games of all time. You know, a lot of people kind of crap on WB Montreal as well. I think they kind of got a really bad rap with the Arkham Origins game. A lot of people dunked on it because it wasn't it was an Arkham game, but it wasn't an Arkham game. It wasn't like, it wasn't the same Batman. It wasn't the same Joker. It was kind of a bait and switch with Black Mask. They were advertising Black Mask as the main character, or the main villain of the game, and ended up being the Joker. They got another shake with an original game. They did Gotham Knights last year,
mm-hmm.
Which people kind of crapped on that one for being kind of not like, it looks life service-y kind of on the surface of it. It's more of like an action RPG, so it's just not Arkham, which is what people want. Batman's not in it, so you play as like the Bat family, mm-hmm. and it also runs at 30 frames a second. So like people just, you know, now they just want something that's going to run a lot better.
Yeah.
But Gotham Knights has got one of the best like Batman stories that I've played in a long time. And you also get to play as characters that you don't normally get to play as. So as much as I love Batman, I'm a Robin guy. Very much so, I'm a Robin guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Nightwing, you got Red Hood, you got Robin, you got Batgirl. And then each one of them's got their own like different like styles and stuff. The reason why I'm talking about Gotham Knights more is just, you know, it doesn't get the love that it deserves, especially for it being like what it is. And I think more people really should play it if they give it a chance and not jump on the internet, you know, hate bandwagon. I think people would actually like it. So
this is the thing that I think is like the through line of our, we've said through line 100 times in this episode specifically, but the through line of our entire podcast is do not listen to internet hate. I think that should be the tagline.
Yeah. Because
every time we start talking about anything, one of us goes, yeah, and then there's this part of the internet where they were like hating on it, but all those people are stupid and you shouldn't listen to them and you should do this instead.
Well, I mean, I think if people would actually play something or watch something or listen, whatever, instead of actually just echoing what they read on the internet, a lot of people will read a 6 out of 10 review. And so, it must suck, you know. Gotham got sixes, it got sevens and all that. And if you don't have time for sixes or sevens, that's okay, but it doesn't mean that the game is, you know, bad or anything like that. I mean, there's plenty of sixes and tens out there that are worth playing. If you want to put a numerical score on it, you know, but we won't.
I like, this is going to bother you a little bit because I think you like them more than I do, but I had a really long trend where like, if I went on IGN and I looked up a game that I was interested in, and IGN gave it a bad score, I would play it off principle.
Yeah, so the thing about, and I do like IGN. I should preface that by saying I don't necessarily, it's not IGN that I like. There are certain people at IGN that I like. So a review is, that is a sole opinion of one person that is doing the review. It is not IGN. Even though they are reviewing it on behalf of IGN, or if somebody reviews it on behalf of GameSpot or Kotaku or Eurogamer or Quick Square or whatever, it is that person's sole opinion. And, you know, basing it off of like IGN, just IGN, you know, I don't know, like depending on who it is and stuff, I can definitely see where you're coming from on it. There are people on there that, I think they would actually just give like hate scores, even though I know that's not necessarily how things are done. But I don't know, or like it doesn't even seem like they actually played the game. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm very like I take in my information about a game, I figure out what it's about, and then like, I decide whether the premise is interesting enough to me to play, and then if that checks a yes, then nobody's opinion matters until I play it.
Right, right. My the way I usually look at stuff, and this is kind of a curmudgeonly old man way of looking at it. Look at me like I'm old man Bruce from Batman Beyond. I've been doing this for 35 years. You know, I've been playing games since I was like 3, maybe 2. I don't really remember. But I was really young when somebody put a controller in my hand, and I kind of know what I like and I kind of know what I don't like. That's kind of the long and the short of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I used to, and Aaron, you could definitely, you know, vouch for this too. Like, we come from an era where not everything was great. My parents would just, they would go and rent me stuff and bring it home. And sometimes it was, you know, Aladdin on the Sega Genesis, you know, and it was fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was Chippendale Rescue Rangers, and it was great. And honestly, like, sometimes it was like, I don't know,
Mickey Mouse capades.
Yeah. Why is it all Disney stuff that I just listed?
I don't know. I was going with the theme.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes it's Mega Man 2. You know what I mean? Like, it just is what it is. But you play what you can get your hands on. Now we've got disposable income and all that. I can kind of buy what I want, which is great. But generally, if I see it running, and, like, you know, that's what YouTube is great for. You know, these Let's Plays and all that good stuff. I mean, I can usually tell if I'm going to like something or not. But
yeah, I absolutely, yeah, just another tangent. I absolutely love, like, the area we're at now, where, like when we were younger, I mean, just the limited amount of information you would get on games, because, like, if you weren't, like, if it wasn't a word of mouth or a literal commercial on TV, or you happened to walk into a game store, or you know, got a Electronic Gaming Monthly, there were a lot of games that came out that we didn't even know about because there wasn't media to receive them. Like, video games weren't like that when we were kids. Like, nowadays, when a game comes out, there's like 15 different websites that report on it. There's, you know, 100 different YouTubers who, you know, are trying to, you know, this is the next big game or whatever. So, like, you get all this information about all those games, and you can pick and choose which ones you like. I mean, back in the day, like, you knew Final Fantasy VII came out because somebody bought it and was like, oh man, I played this game, it's called Final Fantasy VII, have you ever heard of it? And you're like, oh, well, I played Final Fantasy VI, I didn't know Final Fantasy VII was out. And then you go to the store and Final Fantasy VII's there. But, like, now it's like, there's a list 15 games long of all the games that are coming out this month, and you can literally get on Google and search any of those games to find out if you know, if they're compatible or with you or not, if there's something you're going to like. And then, like, you can go out and get that game the day it comes out, because, you know, release dates and all that. So, like, our era right now of, like, how games are purchased is, like, so much, we're, like, spoiled in that way that we can know exactly what we're jumping into with a little research. So, like, what the hell's a review score? Like,
yeah,
you can look at the game yourself at this point. Like, the developers know how to, like, you know, make a trailer reel that shows what the game's about. You know, they do pressers where they tell you how the game works. And, like, you can just look into the game. And if it sounds fun to you, buy it. Why would you read a review of some person who has a completely different experience than you and be like, oh, well, Steve from Milwaukee didn't like it, so I should... Who cares?
Damn it, Steve. I actually just got... I have two emails in my Gmail account for... one for Spider-Man 2, and then one for Sonic Superstars.
There you go. Yeah. My point proven.
Exactly. All right, you want to call it?
Okay. All right, so... we already did. We recorded twice today. So, you got anything else you want to say about the games you played this week?
No.
Okay. I didn't say it on the last one, but the other game that I've been kind of playing is One Piece Pirate Warriors 4, because they just dropped some new DLC for Luffy Gear 5, and I had this moment of, like, a weird thing that I've never experienced before. So, I'm going to try and describe it real quick. So, I played One Piece Pirate Warriors. I beat it. The new DLC is some, like, new quests that you can do. And then you can get Gear 5 Luffy and play as Gear 5 Luffy. I think Gear 5 Luffy is cool. And I was like, that sounds like fun. But I'm like, am I about to buy a DLC, turn it on, play Luffy for one round, be like, that was fun, and then just never pick this game up again? Like, so, like, I started playing it to, like, see if I could get myself into it to justify buying the DLC. And I was like, this is weird. I shouldn't have to, like, I don't know, prime the engine of me wanting to play this game just so I can give the developers more money. Like, I was in a weird spot, and I was just like, if it takes this much work for me to buy the DLC, I probably shouldn't buy it.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, normally when a game drops DLC that I'm interested in, like, I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. Let's play right now. I'm buy this DLC. Like, there's DLC coming out for Tales of Arise. And I'm like, if I could pre-order that shit, I would already have done it. But, like, in this one, I was like, do I want to? I don't know. And then, like, my brain was like, well, if you have to think about buying it, then just don't. Like, so yeah. I ended up with not buying that DLC. Like, I mean, with One Piece's legacy, we're at Pirate Warriors 4. How far away is Pirate Warriors 5? Like, am I really confident they're not going to just make another one where Gear 5 Luffy is a normal character I don't have to pay for? Like,
I'm going to go ahead and say I don't know.
Okay, just like, let me set the stage for you. One Piece has 1,200 episodes, and there are 4 One Piece Pirates games. There are at least 500 more episodes before the story ends. I'm confident that not buying this will not be a problem, and they're going to make another one. Oh, yeah.
All right.
And freaking, there's more DLC for Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. What the heck?
Oh, yeah, that's the game that just will never end.
It just won't end.
Nope.
Like, and it almost got me. I was like, ooh, I could be Ultra Instinct in with my custom character. And I'm like, no, make Xenoverse 3. Stop it.
In the time that game has come out, we've seen it started as a Dragon Ball Z game. It got all the Dragon Ball Super stuff, and now it's going to have all the Dragon Ball Daima stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Dragon Ball Daima, I know people are upset about that because they want some super serious Dragon Ball Z stuff. I am not. I'm a Dragon Ball Z fan. I have been for years and years and years. This is just what Akira Toriyama does. His story has to have a kid in it.
Yeah. I can't wait to see DLC Pack 93 for Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
Jesus.
You know.
like, I don't know if you have, but have you seen the DLC page for Dragon Ball Xenoverse? Have you seen it?
I have, because I considered buying it. I can't do it at this point. I just won't.
It's like they're on, like, they stopped numbering them because the numbering was embarrassing. They're at like DLC pack 13 or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, make a new game.
Basically, at this point, it's more of a platform. Kakarot's going to be kind of the same thing too.
Like, okay, I like what they're doing with Kakarot. Kakarot, they are making DLCs, but the DLCs are compact, individual stories that tell a different part of the Dragon Ball Z story. I'm fine with that. But what they're doing with friggin', it's like 9 out of those 13 DLC packs are just random characters that are just like, oh, do you want to be Kefla, but her shirt's kind of ruffled? Here you go. Like, I'm like, stop this. Turn this game off. Like, how did it get this way? Who? Like, and like,
stand down.
Yes, stand down. Like, I understand that, like, to the eye of the company, nonstop, countless DLCs is actually what they want. They want the people who play this game to just buy DLC over and over again forever. But
yeah, it's a money train.
Yeah, but there's greedy, but like, you don't need to show your whole ass. Like leave a little to the imagination. Like, jeez. the game needs to end. The game needs to end. They need to stop making DLC for it and make Xenoverse 3. If people are so excited that they're still buying these DLCs, then just make them buy a new game, and then you could make more DLCs for that game.
Yeah.
I don't know. That shit's crazy to me. Like, I'm freaking Xenoverse, man. I remember buying Xenoverse 1, playing it, beating it, buying Xenoverse 2, importing my character from Xenoverse 1 to Xenoverse 2, playing through Xenoverse 2 and beating it, and that was the transfer from Xenoverse 1 to Xenoverse 2 was PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, Xenoverse 1 dropped on PS3. Xenoverse 2 dropped on PS4 at the beginning of PS4's... No, not the beginning. That's not right. But, like, close to, maybe in the middle of the PS2's life cycle. The PS4's life cycle. So, like, I think Xenoverse 2 came out in, like, 2016? 2015?
I think you're about right.
Somewhere right there. And then, like...
It was before Super came out, I know that.
Yeah, non-stop DLC for... 7 years? Like you said, before Super. So, like, they DLC'd all the way through Super. And now they're, like, adding Ultra Instinct Goku, which is not the one from Super, but the one from the Super manga that happens after Super ends. Like, stop this game. Just stop it. Just make a new one. Okay.
Well, we did positives on the last one. Do you want to do positives on this one?
Yeah, we're being consistent to our structure, so we got to do positives again.
My positive, I'm gonna go first. I'm gonna go ahead and take point on this one.
Okay.
I missed you, dude.
Yeah.
And this is the longest we've talked in a little while.
Yeah. That's
my positive.
The funniest thing for me is, like, and I'm gonna make this my positive. The funniest thing for me is, like, I never thought in my life that I'd be like, I thought of something, but I'm gonna save it for the podcast when I talk to Brett. So I'm just gonna sit on this for 3 weeks until I talk to Brett again, so I can drop my bomb of Dragon Ball Z, I don't know, let's say family drama.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is too, and I know I've said this a couple times, is we've stayed consistent with this, and like as people get to kind of know us through the podcast and stuff, they'll realize that like maybe like we haven't always like stuck to our guns in the past. Like, we always say that we're going to do something, and sometimes we just don't do it, or we get busy and we forget.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we're double digits at this point on this show, and I'm pretty freaking, like, stoked about that.
Yeah.
And, like, we've been consistent with it. I really hope that people out there that, you know, if you're listening and you're liking what you're listening to, we talked about it in the last one, you know, drop us a comment in the Discord, come chat with us. Yeah.
Ooh, look at Brett over here farming engagement like a real podcaster over here.
Smash that like button. Like, share, and subscribe. I really like ducks and cat videos and stuff. Dude, give me the coolest like cat video or duck video that you can find, and I'll come talk to you.
All right.
So That's what I want to see. That's how I know that you've listened to this whole show, and you know, you're here at the end with us and stuff.
Yeah,
give me a duck.
Post some duck videos in the chat. I love it.
Give me a duck wearing a Superman cape. You know, that's what I want.
It's topical.
Yep.
All right. Well,
if you hear a noise, I'm cutting a pork loin, you guys. it's not what you think it is.
it's definitely this is the PG podcast, besides all the times that we cuss. So
yeah,
it's not what you think it is.
We usually we apologize ahead of time, like if we're going to curse or something like that. But no, I'm cutting a pork loin. This is old man Brett talking. So what I did was, instead of buying like little packs of pork chops, I bought a whole pork loin. I'm cutting it myself into pork chops.
Nice.
And I just saved like 40 something bucks.
I'm adding some show notes real quick. Sorry.
You're okay. Add that to the show notes. Let everybody know.
Okay. All right. We love you all. We'll see you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Tell them Large Mars sent you.
Wimini wham wham wazzle.
Love you.